A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Rejoice, O young man, while you are young, and let your heart be glad in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, the vision of your eyes. Yet understand that as regards all this, God will bring you to judgment. Ward off grief from your heart and put away trouble from your presence, though the dawn of youth is fleeting. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years approach, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun is darkened, and the light, and the moon, and the stars, while the clouds return after the rain, when the guardians of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders are idle because they are few, and they who look through the windows grow blind. When the doors to the street are shut, and the sound of the mill is low, when one waits for the chirp of a bird, but all the daughters of song are suppressed, and one fears heights and perils in the street, when the almond tree blooms, and the locust grows sluggish, and the caperberry is without effect, because man goes to his lasting home, and mourners go about the streets, before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the broken pulley falls into the well, and the dust returns to the earth as it once was, and the life breath returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth, all things are vanity. Verbum Domini. In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. You turn man back to dust, saying, Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
While they were all amazed at his every deed, Jesus said to his disciples, "Pay attention to what I am telling you. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men." But they did not understand this saying. Its meaning was hidden from them, so that they should not understand it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying.
Verbum Domini.
The first reading today is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a rather unique book within the canon of Scripture. It is classified as one of the wisdom books in the Bible, along with books such as Proverbs, Job, Wisdom, and Sirach. And its author is often believed to be King Solomon, the son of King David, although the authorship is disputed among Scripture scholars. And those who read this book for the first time might find its tone to be quite pessimistic. The author shares his observations of reality and the fleeting nature of all things. And it was a common belief at the time that those who live upright lives, who do what is just, and who obey God's commandments will enjoy prosperity and success in life, whereas those who do evil will suffer the punishment for their sins and their crimes. And the author evaluates this belief in light of his observations of reality and finds it to be inaccurate. He sees people who work hard in this life and who do what is right, and yet they do not enjoy the fruits of their labor. There are people who are oppressed with hard work and who never receive their just recompense. And then there are those who do all sorts of wicked things and they enjoy riches, prosperity, and an abundance of pleasures. Reality itself challenges the notion that good is always rewarded and evil is always punished. And sometimes reality appears to have a twisted sense of justice. And the author's first conclusion that he draws from this perception of reality almost seems nihilistic. The theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is summed up in the first few verses of the book. "Vanity of vanities," says Koheleth, "all vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun?" And this is a lament that reverberates in every major period throughout history. So many people can relate to Ecclesiastes to some extent or another. We feel this emptiness in our lives, and everything seems devoid of authentic meaning and purpose. All our efforts and all our work, everything that we build up throughout our lives, can be easily torn down and destroyed. If by chance the fruits of our labors do last until the end, we cannot take them with us when we die. We must leave these fruits to other people who will enjoy the benefit of our labor. And the author of Ecclesiastes looks at this recurring situation and the apparent absurdity of it all, and almost seems to despair at finding a satisfactory resolution to this problem. And the only recourse that the author can see is to simply trust in the Lord God, to fear him and to obey his commandments. He finds his comfort in abandoning himself into the providence and judgment of God. And this is where faith becomes the only option for the author. He simply chooses to believe in the providence of God and in his divine judgment, even though he is incapable of seeing how God's justice will play out. It is difficult for the poor laborer to see how his situation will be made right, yet he is called to believe in divine providence and to trust in God's will and his comprehensive plan for all creatures. For the moment, suffering seems to be senseless and cruel, especially for those who seek to live by the law of God, obey his commandments, and do what is right and just. And yet the author of the book believes that God will not allow injustices to go without redress, nor good deeds to go without reward. In other words, it is only faith in God and in his divine goodness and justice that can help us to make sense of the apparent absurdity of reality. Otherwise, we might find ourselves sinking into the quicksand of nihilism and despair. Ecclesiastes then concludes with the section of the book that was included in the first reading today. The author gives this counsel to young people, warning them to be prepared for the moment of their death and to make God the center of their lives before they get older and it is too late. He says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days come and the years approach of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" This does not mean that young people should not enjoy the days of their youth or rejoice in the fleeting pleasures and the enjoyments of life, or even to do all the good that they can in this life. But if we place all our stock in our labors and our fruits and in the fleeting pleasures of life, then we might find ourselves in a rather hopeless situation in old age. When we're young, we feel like certain things are going to last forever, and that we're going to enjoy good health and strong physical capabilities for years to come. However, the author counsels young people to keep the Lord ever in mind, to obey his commandments and to seek to do his will. Since everything else in life is fading away, we need to cling to something that is everlasting. We may lose everything else, yet we gain everything in the end if we have God. And as we repeated in the refrain from the responsorial psalm today, "In every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge." And thus we are reminded today of the shortness of our life and our own mortality. As the Catechism teaches in paragraph 1007, death is the end of earthly life. Our lives are measured by time, in the course of which we change, grow old, and as with all living beings on earth, death seems like the normal end of life. That aspect of death lends urgency to our lives. Remembering our mortality helps us realize that we have only a limited time in which to bring our lives to fulfillment. And thankfully, through Jesus Christ, we have access to this fulfillment that will be actualized at the resurrection from the dead. As the Catechism says in paragraph 1009, death is transformed by Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, also himself suffered the death that is part of the human condition. And yet, despite his anguish as he faced death, he accepted it in an act of complete and free submission to his Father's will. The obedience of Jesus has transformed the curse of death into a blessing. Indeed, what a blessing it would be for all of us to come to the end of our earthly lives and to be able to say, in union with Christ on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." For we know that if we die with Christ, we shall also live with him. And we also pray daily for our Blessed Mother's intercession at the moment of our death when we say, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen."